should stand up and say, we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
Hey, everybody. This is Maggie Rodden. How are you? I'm telling you last-minute things. I'm waiting to get my guests connected. So, when we get all the bugs lined up with or ironed out between he and I and so on and so forth, he'll be on with me. Paul Fromm is joining me tonight. So that's always exciting. Paul filled in for me a lot on the last network I was on during the day. So, I'm real excited that he's going to be on with me today. I always like what Paul has to say. He's a sharp cookie. He hails from a north of the border. That's north of the U.S. border, for those of you listening, from around the planet, the prison planet we're all residing on. And he is a fellow racist, hater, anti-Semite, bigot, homophobe, xenophobe, white supremacist, Nazi who wants to kill 6 million Jews, and I'll have to ask him if he hates Limburger cheese as well. He could be an anti-Limburger too. I don't know. We'll have to find out when he comes on. Who knows? What the hell? It just is what it is. You know what I mean? They love to use labels, don't they? Because it's the way they silence us, but they don't silence me. They silence them. They don't silence me. So, anyway, we're gonna get him, into the mix here with us. We just got to work out a few things. This is my first day here on Monday nights here, 5 to 7 Eastern Time here at Orion. So it's a pretty exciting thing, I think. You know, I've been doing a Sunday show on Orion for a very long time. So it's pretty cool to be here Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 o'clock. It affords me a lot of time during the day to do things I need to do. And, It's a good time. That's all. It's a good time. So we'll see how things go. We're going to be redistributing the truth at this time of day, as well as when I was on earlier in the day on that other network that will be left unmentioned, the unmentionable network. When I was on that unmentionable network, well, anyway, I'm redistributing the truth here today, too, on Orion Talk Radio Network. Now, listen, kids, the idea is to get this network to zoom to number one, and the way that's going to happen is if everybody works together, get the word out about that we are out here, all right, and just make it happen. Let people know. Use Facebook, use the social media tools, Twitter. Those are two good ways. I know I was talking to Federal Jack earlier today, and he said he puts out flyers and business cards and the whole nine yards. I'm telling you, people need to know the truth, because once they know the truth, some people, of course, will cower in the corner. That's just how it rolls. That's how life goes. You know, some people just don't stand up when they are challenged. They don't rise to the occasion. They stand back. However, others stand forward. So, anyway, it's a good thing. It is a good thing. And I've got my guest, Paul Fromm. I'm going to add Paul on with me. Paul, hello.
Hello, Maggie.
How are you there, kid? I gave you a great introduction. I want to know, though, because I don't know if you heard it or not. Did you hear what I was talking about?
No, I just
heard. Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to repeat it for your benefit, Paul. I'm going to tell you that I had a gentleman coming in on my show today from north of the border, Paul Fromm, who joins me in the club of racist, haters, anti-Semites, homophobes, bigots, xenophobes, white supremacists, Nazis who want to kill 6 million Jews, and Limburger cheese haters. So there you go, Paul. I don't know, though.
boy, that's a stirring introduction.
Isn't it, though? I know, right? So, I don't know, though. Do you like Limburger cheese, though? I don't know.
I don't know.
My mother used to eat it.
I'm going to have to say yes, I do.
Okay. Well, then we can't have that on there. We'll have to find something else you don't like and add it to the mix. You know what I mean?
Something else I hate.
yeah, absolutely. So, what the hell? So, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, and I also want to congratulate you. This is your first program on Orion Talk Radio?
Yeah, well, on Mondays. I've always been on Sundays for about the last year. I've been doing an hour show on Sundays, and so I'm just on here now, Monday through Friday, rocking and rolling in the afternoon. So,
well, that is fantastic. Big congratulations. I think this is really a fantastic way to encourage people to think about the important issues of the day, and also to get involved, to join the discussion, and maybe even more than that, if they feel strongly about these things, to get involved in the political process.
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's no doubt about it. You know, I had a piece of paper in my hand, and I lost it, Paul. I wanted to, we're going to do a couple of different things today. I'm going to try playing a clip, too, later, but we'll get to that later in the show. I had a piece of paper that I wanted to tell you that they're going to change. You know, you and I like to tell the truth here. We like to talk about a lot of different things. You and I have had many conversations. Well, they want to change the criteria for, you know, on census. When you have the census here every 10 years in the United States, they want a criteria, change the criteria for what defines races. Races, you know, Hispanic, Black, African American, you know, the whole nine yards. So I wanted to get into that, but unfortunately, because it was kind of a little chaotic before I came on the air, I don't know where the hell I put that paper, because the dogs were barking and fighting and, you know, phone was ringing, doorbells going off, all that kind of good stuff. And then I was having a little trouble getting signed on. So, you know, it's always a fun thing sometimes, Paul. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's I guess it's a typical Monday. I got three separate phone calls from my local telephone provider, whom I don't, who no longer use. They're trying to chase down a bill, and two of the people couldn't speak English, so I don't talk to them. And the third one spoke pretty good English, and typical today, wants to know my address. I said, I'm not giving you my address. You're the one who's calling me. Oh, we have to do it for your security. I was saying, not to do with my security. You've got something to say to me? Say it to me. Well, I need your address. I said, well, could you give me your home address?
Oh, I know the crap. I don't even answer the phone anymore for that crap. I honestly don't. If I don't recognize the number, I don't answer the phone because it's a total waste of my time. They just get on my nerves, so I don't need any more gray hairs than I already have, so I figure, what the hell? It's a lot simpler just to ignore them. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, it's... It really bothers me. I was at an interesting conference on the weekend of like-minded people, and to see the way our countries have deteriorated, the absolute lack of trust. Now, I'm not saying businesses should trust customers unreservedly or vice versa, but it used to be presumed that people were honest. Now the presumption is that everybody's a crook.
Yeah, I know.
And I've said that. I don't know if we're talking about the same thing on both sides of the border, but there's a thing what we call a bank draft. Now that is, you've got you want to pay a bill for $500. You give them $500 in cash, and they give you a bank draft, which is good as gold. I've actually had a bank tell me they couldn't accept the bank draft of another bank. Well, yeah, they could. But they want to put a five-day hold on it. I said, what do you mean a five-day hold? Oh, well, it could be forged. I said, well, are you telling me that you know, this other bank, are there a bunch of crooks? Oh, no. Well, then what are you telling me? Well, it could be forged. Really? Are you calling me a forger? Oh, no. I mean, I've been a customer with you for 20 years. Well, we've got to be careful. Oh, really? Careful. You know, most of us put up with far too much. You know, what it is with a changing multicultural society, we no longer have that homogeneous society of people. We're all the same stock, and although, you know, there are crooks in every group of people, generally, you can trust most of your own people. No longer the case.
No.
And big institutions are really, really reluctant to tell you whom they're watching for. Another kind of comical, it's not really funny, but a couple of years ago, I noticed that the local branch that I deal with has a security guard. And he's an old East Indian gentleman, and he's not armed. I finally asked at the counter, what's that old fellow doing there? I mean, he opens the door for you, and he's very polite. Well, there's been robberies in the area. Oh, really? Yeah. I said, well... what type of people rob banks here? Oh, they're coming off the highway. Oh, who? They're very reluctant to say, but in the Toronto area, 75% of the armed robberies are committed by our very, very small black minority.
Hey,
but they won't tell you.
Hold on, Paul. Well, nobody ever wants to tell the truth because then that would endanger the lie, wouldn't it? Let's get a break. We'll be back in three. Hang on. Paul Fromm is my guest, paulfromm.com. We'll be right back in 3 minutes. Don't change that dial.
DependableVoice.com, the total solution, one-stop shop for your business telecommunications needs. Nationwide business class telecommunications services, providing voice and data, voice over internet, and hosted PBX. Dependable Voice is now offering the first month free for any voice over internet and hosted PBX services. Save up to 50% on your current phone bill and save thousands of dollars with no need to purchase PBX hardware. Hosted PBX and voice over internet services include free local and long distance calling to the U.S., Canada, and Caribbean. Email to voicemail. Follow me services. Multiple visual call reports. Dynamic auto attendant. Advanced ACDM call queue. Unified voice and fax messaging. And much, much more. Plus, get your first month free with a minimum three-phone system. Call Dependable Voice today at 1-888-346-1085 or visit them online at dependablevoice.com. That's dependablevoice.com. Dependable Voice, the total solution for business telecommunications.
Did you know that the water you're drinking may contain over 2,000 different contaminants? From hormone-disrupting and mind-altering chemicals like fluoride in pharmaceuticals to newly emerging contaminants like radiation and other hybrid chemicals that water treatment plants don't screen out of our drinking water. PureEffectFilters.com has a breakthrough filter solution to effectively reduce the widest range of such contaminants, including the radiation coming from the Fukushima disaster. In addition, the filters will also revitalize your water by releasing natural minerals and electrolytes while increasing pH and antioxidant levels. Safeguard and revitalize your drinking water today with a breakthrough Pure Effect water filter system. Visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more or contact us today at 1-888-891-4821. That's 1-888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more.
Are you a frequent flyer business traveler? Are you tired of paying exorbitant ticket prices to fly business or first class? Well, now you don't have to. Visit flyfirstclass.com to find out how you can travel in style and comfort to hundreds of locations around the world while saving 40 to 70% on your airfare. FlyFirstClass.com has been serving corporate and leisure travelers the world over since 1998. They are a professional company, providing professionals with first-class service and total reliability. How about flying from Miami to Paris, round trip per person, business class from $3,300, or first class from $4,600? Or a flight from the 48 states, Canada, or Alaska to South America, business class starting at $3,300, or first class starting at $4,600. Make no mistake, these are flights on major commercial airlines. So before you book your next flight, log on to flyfirstclass.com and see how much money you can save. That website is flyfirstclass.com, flyfirstclass.com.
Alternative Radio. We are OrionTalkRadio.com.
At OrionTalkRadio.com, you could say that we're all talk.
Our guest tonight is Michael Murphy, the producer of What in the World Are They Spraying?
The chemtrails issue is so insidious. We started looking into a lot of different agendas. Weather control. These trails, these aerosols, are absolutely required to achieve the weather modification, weather control objectives that these corporations have. So by spraying a certain aerosol, you can actually dissipate a storm or you can build a storm. And we found out that weather is actually being traded on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. That started, I think, around 1997. They have weather derivatives. And the companies that are have an interest in this are either insurance companies or energy companies. These are corporations that profit literally from death. So, again, there's been no greater threat to life on the planet.
Orion News Talk. News and views beyond the mainstream media.
IRN USA Radio News, I'm Hope Duggar. Republicans have gaveled open their convention in Tampa, Florida, one that will culminate in the nomination of Mitt Romney to be president. Party Chairman Reince Priebus today banged the gavel on an abbreviated first-day session as the threat of Tropical Storm Isaac forced the GOP to cram 4 days of speeches and videos into three. A smattering of delegates, including members of the Texas delegation, attended the shortened session. Plans call for Vice Presidential candidate Paul Ryan to deliver his speech on Wednesday and Romney to address the delegates on Thursday. Federal officials say the updated levees around New Orleans are equipped to handle storms stronger than the one that is approaching from the Gulf of Mexico. The administration of the Federal Emergency Management Agency says it's a much more robust system than the one that was in place when Hurricane Katrina arrived 7 years ago. That was a powerful Category 5 storm. Isaac isn't even a hurricane at this point. This is IRN USA Radio News.
We joined MediShare back when I lost my job that provided family health coverage. We really like the biblical approach of Christians sharing each other's medical bills, not to mention the cost savings. Last year, I was diagnosed with cancer, just a year after it took my dad. Needless to say, I was scared. I was so thankful for the way MediShare guided me through every step, choosing treatment, finding a doctor, and its members sharing all my medical bills. Over $72,000 so far. We would have had to sell our home. For us, MediShare has been a godsend.
Learn how you could save on your health care. For your MediShare information guide, call 866-89-BIBLE. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical health care. Call 866-89-BIBLE. That's 866-89-BIBLE.
Hey everybody, it's Maggie Robb. My show, The Unsolicited Opinion, can be heard here on Orion Talk Radio Network every Sunday at noon. Listen in. Hey everybody, it's Maggie Rodden, and you are listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. I hope, anyway, we're having a couple of glitches here, but it is what it is. We're getting the bugs out tonight, and who cares, so what? It sometimes happens when things are live, right, Paul? I mean, you know, if we were pre-recording all of this stuff, then we could just, you know, make it totally perfect and iron out all the wrinkles, but it's live radio, so that's just the way the stuff goes. Listen, I did find my article. Go back to the point that you were making, and then I'll read to you from this new the Census Bureau is rethinking race, Paul. That's the title of the article. So.
Oh, I see. Well.
Yeah, it's good. The point I was making is
people of European origin in North America have to recover their pride. A lot of people feel really beaten down. They feel that, Europeans are bad. All I've ever heard are bad things about us, things we've been taught in the schools. Without pride, it's very hard to fight for your own interests. In fact, we don't have any interests. Minorities have interests. Homosexuals have interests. Jews have interests. Blacks have interests. Hispanics, etc. We're not supposed to fight for ours. So the point I was making was one of the so-called, you know, crimes laid at our feet is slavery. And Europeans or whites enslaved the blacks, and that's mischievously partly true. Yes, there was slavery in North and South America, and whites did own blacks as slaves, and it was probably a bad thing. But we're the ones who did something about it. You know, Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation, and 60 years before that, Britain outlawed slavery in Britain, and then in the early 1820s in the British Empire, and sent the Royal Navy out into the Atlantic to stop slavery. And so the fact is, slavery is a fact today. There are probably more slaves today than there ever were in colonial times. And it's largely blacks owning other blacks or Arabs owning blacks. Slavery is a bad thing, for sure. But we're the ones who did something about it. And you know, people who want to run their mouths about slavery ought to be going after, you know, some of the people in Arabia and Central Africa that are enslaving blacks.
I just read something. Now, you mentioned that. I think it was Mauritania. I just read an article this morning, Paul, I believe it was, or yesterday, talking about blacks being enslaved and a lot of Arabs still enslaving blacks. So it's such a lie that they perpetuate out there that the only people who have ever owned slaves in life have been people of European ancestry, Christian Europeans, and it's such a lie, but it advances their agenda as long as no one stands up and calls them on their lies. Then they're allowed to continue with this rhetoric and this crap and indoctrinate people and browbeat people and make people think that, well, gee, I should be ashamed of myself. I should be ashamed of who I am, my heritage and everything because, you know, 200 years ago or 150 years ago or 60 years ago or whatever, you know, someone was still enslaved in this nation, and it's just absolutely wrong, and it's amoral, really. It is immoral to continue to allow that to go on and not stand up and speak out for yourself. What human being doesn't speak out for themselves, Paul, is just illogical to me.
That's right. I think also people, you know, maybe one of the things we can do, Maggie, is we can help people think for themselves. If you hear the same thing over and over again, as we have, let's say, about slavery, you perhaps don't direct the thought to that you ought to. But, to start out, why should I feel guilty about slavery? I never owned a slave. My dad never owned a slave. My grandfather never owned a slave. Why should I be involved in this? Why should I stagger around under a load of guilt? That's one thing. And then the next step is, and our people abolish slavery. We're the good guys. We're not the bad guys. We're the good guys. And, I think if we could get more European Americans and Canadians being proud, and I'm not saying being proud foolishly, but being proud of our huge achievements. You know, there's a fellow who just died over the weekend, Neil Armstrong, the epitome of a European American, a great scientist, astronaut, the first man to walk on the moon, and all those good things. We should be immensely proud of not only his achievements but the achievements of our science that led to that. You know, that wasn't Oriental science or African science or Aboriginal science from the middle of Australia. This is one of the huge achievements of European civilization. We should be immensely proud of that.
Well, you know, if I can figure out how to, because I've not done this before, so some of these things, I'm not too good with these bells and whistles, Paul. I mean, I say this to people repeatedly, I'm at the Etch-a-Sketch phase of development. You know what I mean? So when it comes to, like, I got to push this button and do that, these technical things on computers and that, I'm not real good at them. But I've got a clip, and perhaps you're familiar with this clip. This is... his name escapes me now, but he just made a movie. Dinesh D'Souza interviewed Barack Obama's half-brother, and Barack Obama's half-brother actually admits that he wished that the colonialists had hung around a little bit longer because they don't have the prosperity and they did not advance as much as the other nations were where they stayed around longer. And that's kind of an interesting twist. Were you familiar with that by chance, Paul, the comments from Barack Obama's half-brother?
I think I'd seen them referred to. You know, Maggie, what that points to is, number one, the naivety of some of our people, some of the African people, and... the naivety.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. Because I had looked at something today, and I can't remember which website it was on, and talking about the pending war that's going to take place in South Africa, which, of course, who was it? I'm trying to recall from the article that I read. I want to say it was Margaret Thatcher talked about. It might have been her, someone else on her level, someone of that renown, I should say, talked about how illogical it is for people to think that they can set up this system without having it
fall apart, this chaotic system where people are rewarded not because they have the skill sets that earn them that reward, but that they're rewarded because they fall into a particular category. It's just primed for exploitation, and it's primed to set up an us-against-them kind of a mentality. And, you know, it certainly is where we're heading. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, and, you know, that experience of Barack Obama's brother, I've heard that, you know, quite often from honest Africans. They'll say, you know, we long for the days when the white man ran the place. Because I think some were naive in the sense that they thought, well, when the white man goes, we will have all the things that they had, the white man had. The sound that maybe the white man had just ripped them off. Well, then they found out they couldn't run the farms. They couldn't run the mines. Some of it was naivety. And then, of course, many of the African leaders were Marxists or Marxist educated, like the monster who's still in charge of Zimbabwe, formerly Rhodesia, this fellow Mugabe. A hardline Marxist. Well, these people believe that the Europeans simply exploited the country and ripped it off. Well, no, they did a lot of hard work. They built, they put mines where there had never been mines before, advanced farms where there had never been farms before, built networks of roads and railways and so on, tried to develop a system of justice, an organization, and in many cases, the blacks have not been able to do that. They've not been able to carry that on, and there are a lot of blacks who say, we were better off under Ian Smith in Rhodesia or whatever.
Well, yeah, this is an article, and it talks about the neo-Marxism down there. South Africa, only a matter of time before the bomb explodes. And of course, because you've got people who are unskilled laborers, and often, and we've got these people being placed in positions that are incompetent, for a variety of factors, they're incompetent because of a variety of reasons. There's, of course, a lot of factors that went into play, but the base problems that existed in the first place, those were never corrected. So you've set up kind of this false structure just waiting to collapse. You know what I mean, Paul?
Yeah.
Hang on. I hear the cue music. We're going to hit another break. 3 minutes. We'll be back. Paul Fromm, paulfromm.com, Canadian Association for Free Expression. Paul will be back with me. 3 minutes. This is the Unsolicited Opinion here on Orion Talk Radio Network. We shall return. There is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is. First there is a mountain, then there is.
DependableVoice.com, the total solution, one-stop shop for your business telecommunications needs. Nationwide business class telecommunication services, providing voice and data, voice over internet, and hosted PBX. Dependable Voice is now offering the first month free for any voice over internet and hosted PBX services. Save up to 50% on your current phone bill, and save thousands of dollars with no need to purchase PBX hardware. Hosted PBX and voice over internet services include free local and long distance calling to the U.S., Canada, and Caribbean, email to voicemail, follow me services, multiple visual call reports, dynamic auto attendant, advanced ACP and call queue, unified voice and fax messaging, and much, much more. Plus, get your first month free with a minimum three-phone system. Call Dependable Voice today at 1-888-346-1085 or visit them online at dependablevoice.com. That's dependablevoice.com. Dependable Voice, the total solution for business telecommunications.
Here's a frightening statistic. The trillions of human cells in your body are outnumbered 10 to 1 by the bacteria living on you and in you. To protect your body from bacteria, virus, or fungus, take extra protection from Alimax capsules. This is the only product worldwide shown to contain enough allicin, nature's antibiotic, to kill these bugs and protect your immune system from further attacks. Alimax is the only patented stabilized allicin extract in the US, and it's already been used to treat people who want to stay fit and healthy. Alimax is simple to to take, and the whole family can use it. Clear those colds, chest coughs, sinus congestion, and simple infections with Alimex, Nature's Antibiotic. Clinical research has proven that this product really works. Now, to get your special offer from Alimex Nutraceuticals, call 1-800-827-7656 or take a trip to our website, www.allimax.us. That phone number again, 1-800-827-7656.
DependableVoice.com, the total solution, one-stop shop for your business telecommunications needs. Nationwide business class telecommunication services, providing voice and data, voice over internet, and hosted PBX. Dependable Voice is now offering the first month free for any voice over internet and hosted PBX services. Save up to 50% on your current phone bill and save thousands of dollars with no need to purchase PBX hardware. Hosted PBX and voice over internet services include free local and long distance calling to the U.S., Canada, and Caribbean, email to voicemail, follow me services, multiple visual call reports, dynamic auto attendant, advanced ACD and call queue, unified voice and fax messaging, and much, much more. Plus, get your first month free with a minimum three-phone system. Call Dependable Voice today at 1-888-346-1085 or visit them online at dependablevoice.com. That's dependablevoice.com. Dependable Voice, the total solution for business telecommunications.
Hey everybody, this is Maggie Rod. You are listening to the Unsolicited Opinion Radio Show. My guest today is Paul Fromm. I was going to say this morning because I'm used to talking in the morning, but you know what? It's evening now, Paul. So my guest this evening. Yeah, it's Paul Fromm, and we're rocking and rolling here on Orion Talk Radio Network. Listen, everybody, there's a lot of great hosts on this network, and we are moving on up every single day. Things are getting brighter, and the listening audience is expanding exponentially, and that's a good thing. And usually everything just goes smoothly. Sometimes you have a glitch here and there, you know, like today. But most of the time, that's not the case. I've been on this network for, I guess, a year now, doing a Sunday show at noon. And, you know, it's always smooth sailing. So, it's, hey, that stuff just happens. Who knows, Paul? Maybe somebody out there likes me, huh, Paul?
Oh, I hope so. Lots of people like
me. Well, I know you do. My dogs do. So, what the hell, right?
Right.
There you go. So where should we go with this conversation today, Paul? There's so many different facets to talk about. Just standing up for yourself and forgetting about that label of this supremacist crap that they hustle out there. Because standing up for yourself doesn't mean you think you're better than someone. It only means you think you are equal to them in terms of being able to speak out and stand up for yourself. That's all. It doesn't mean that you're claiming some supremacist title at all, although our silencers would like to try to play that card on us, Paul. But you and I don't fall for those cards in that deck.
Well, you know, these are terms of abuse. And when you try to get at what exactly they mean, yeah, you often find out that they don't have any meaning at all. You know, when I was in elementary school, kids had different insulting words for other kids. You know, somebody called a dirty pig or something. Well, what exactly is a dirty pig? What connection would there be between that that individual and a dirty pig? And quite often, you'd find out there is no connection. So one of the words that's tossed our way is we're a white supremacist. And I have to ask myself, okay, what is a white supremacist? That means we're told you think you're better than other people. Yeah, I think we are better than others, but then every group thinks they're better than others. Now, that's part of pride. I would say the word white supremacist suggests that you want to dominate other groups. I want to rule them. No, speaking for myself, I don't want to rule anybody. I don't think we should be over in Africa ruling the Africans or in Asia. If you want to talk about a white supremacist, I would say the type of policies behind people like George Bush and maybe Obama. We're bringing democracy to Afghanistan. We're going to bring democracy to Iraq. Well, maybe they don't want American-style democracy Our government in Canada says we're over in Afghanistan. We're fighting for women's rights. Well, I think women have to fight for their rights in Afghanistan. Maybe they don't want Western-style feminist sort of rights. I mean, I'm not saying they do or they don't, but now that would be, to my way of thinking, a form of supremacism. We know far better than you do. We're not going to go over and make you do it our way. I have no such desire. I think we should withdraw from all the involvements overseas, and especially the one I fear is in the offing, and that's some form of attack on Iran or war with Iran. Yeah, I'm not a pacifist. I think if our vital interests are threatened by a country, war might be an option. Or if we're attacked by a country, war is an option. But to go around the world, being a policeman for democracy, now that's a form of supremacism, and that's exactly the opposite of what I am. I suspect it's the opposite of what you are, maybe.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Paul, and you're exactly right, because who isn't it? The people that push their agenda, they're the ones who think that they're supreme, and it has absolutely nothing to do with you or I or any of the other people out on the street. Those are the people who have supremacy hang-up, I guess. That's not really exactly the best way to describe it, but they're the ones with the hang-up of thinking that they're better than other people. It's not you or I, and we're certainly not into this hegemony that they're into. So, we're about being left alone. Mind your own business. Do your own thing. Don't tell
them. Hank Williams much. Had a wonderful song called Mind Your Own Business, and I think it went something like this. Mind your own business, mind your own business, and if you mind your own business, you won't be minding mine.
Yeah, right.
There's a lot to be said about letting people live their lives as they see fit, and as long as they don't interfere with us.
You and I have talked about free speech a lot, and of course you really don't have free speech at all up in Canada. It's funny, Paul, because I know I've had a couple other Canadians on my show who are not as tuned in to the lack of free speech rights in Canada as you are so well. But for the people listening who haven't heard you before, Paul, let's get into a little bit about how much free speech you really don't have, or I should say how little free speech you really have in Canada. Let's talk
I'd like to do that in just a sec, but if I can digress for a moment about free speech.
Sure.
Free speech isn't very popular in a lot of parts of the world. We've just seen those Summer Olympics in which the United States did very, very well, and Canada not too badly, and so on. And there were two athletes that were expelled by their home teams, by their home sporting federation. One was a Greek runner named Boula. I don't quite recall her last name, but she was expelled because she tweeted some comments about Athens. Apparently, there was now West Nile virus in Athens, largely because of large numbers of African third world immigrants. And she tweeted something to the effect that now the mosquitoes will have plenty of food, and meaning African immigrants. Well, okay, so she doesn't like third world. It's an invasion, what's going on in Greece. They're a poverty-stricken country, and they're just being invaded by people from the third world who immediately claim refugee status, and the Greeks have to try to support them and all that. But she was offering her opinion, and it was a private communication on Twitter.
Well, let me throw something in about that as well, Paul, because I believe that what you talked about is that now they have some home meat because there were people from Africa, and it's West Nile virus, Nile being a river in Africa, right?
Well, that's what she meant.
Egypt is on the continent of Africa. I mean, yeah, that's exactly what she meant, but they claimed, oh, well, she's a racist, hater, xenophobe, bigot.
It was an insensitive remark. Well, even if it was.
So what?
She ought to have a right to her opinion. The price that girl paid was that she was tossed off the team.
Yeah.
The big laugh is that happened in the country that gave us the word democracy. Two Greek words meaning the people, demos and kratos, which is power of the people. They developed a form of democracy in Athens in the 6th century B.C. And so in the cradle of democracy, the moral dwarves that are now in charge throw a woman off the team for doing nothing more than exercising her right of, to have an opinion. That was one case. I would say in some ways even more frightening was what happened to a German athlete. The Greek athlete's name was Voula Papachristou. Well, this German girl, her name was Nadia Dragila. Now, Nadia Dragila is a blonde, blue-eyed German rower. Now, she didn't express any political opinion, but she has a boyfriend. And her boyfriend is a member of the NPD. That's a German, the National Democratic Party. That's sometimes called right-wing. It's quite, opposed to immigration. It's a legal party, incidentally. He's not a terrorist. She's not a terrorist. And apparently because she has a boyfriend who has politically incorrect opinions, she was tossed off the team. German report said Germany may force sports stars to make a commitment to democracy. A German ministry spokesman said, the Interior Ministry also said that they're thinking of insisting that sports clubs and associations make a formal commitment to democratic values. Right-wing extremism has been a concern for a long time. It's a very weird definition of democracy. The right wing of the NPD, the German Democratic Party, is a legal party. They contest elections. That's being democratic. Just because you have problems with massive immigration doesn't mean you're not democratic. I think there's a frightening effort around the world to shut politically incorrect opinion up. I mean, people pay a terrible price. An athlete, that's their job. And if they do well, many of them will not, but those who do really well are in a position to make a lot of money with endorsements. Really where a lot of these people will, could make their, make their fortune.
Sure. Hang on, Paul. I hear the cue music. We're going to hit another break. We'll be back. Paul Fromm is my guest today. You're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion here on Orion Talk Radio Network. Listen, 24 hours a day, great hosts, great topics, great thoughts. Definitely a place to listen to. We'll be back in, about 5 minutes now. Top of the hour, 5 minutes. We'll be back. Don't change that dial. We're coming back for another hour.
At OrionTalkRadio.com, you could say that we're all talk.
Now, the question is, was it the hat conspiracy that the official story would have us believe?
News and views beyond the mainstream media.
Down the rabbit hole with Popeye, the Freedom Link broadcast with Joe Joseph, Information Nation with Ken. I know that's on Sunday night. You got The Edge with John Stokes, Tom Donahue reports. He's on in the afternoon. Morning Brew with Gwen Caldwell and Neil Bigelow. Sound of Freedom with Ryan Brooks. And I think he's a new host to Orion, and he follows my show. So there you go. And there's a bunch of other shows on there as well. I'm just reading a few of them. Lots of voices to be heard here on Orion Talk Radio Network, so it's a great place to hang out. My guest today is Paul Fromm, Canadian Association for Free Expression, paulfromm.com. And you know what, Paul?
I'm telling you, sometimes I have to write down where I left off in a conversation because I get up when we hit breaks. I get up and walk around and look at stuff on the Internet, and then I lose total track of what the hell I was even talking about when I go back on the air if I don't jot down notes to myself. And needless to say, this is one of those days, Paul, where I didn't jot down any notes to myself. So I know you were talking when we hit the break. Go right ahead, please.
Okay, well, we were actually talking about attacks on freedom of speech are around the world, but particularly what happened at the Olympics. But there's a real battle on between the politically correct, whether we're talking about Europe or America or Canada, and people who have dissenting opinions. And you know, it's no longer it's no longer a situation where you have the right to have a dissent, where you know you have your opinion, I have my opinion, we have a discussion, and you know, we may change each other's views, or we may agree to disagree. No, that's not good enough. You have to be beaten into line if you dissent, and
well, look at
this is a bad thing. This is something you know we have to fight. I think right across the Western world, we're in a battle with the cultural Marxists, that's what political correctness is. The belief in forced equality, minority privilege, anti-Christianity, all those things are sacred. And if you happen to dissent, you know, you're wrong and you better shut up or change your views. Up here in Canada, although we've had some victories, it's pretty grim. Our papers are very good at recognizing lack of free speech in other countries. What's something like the New York Times? It sort of likes to think of itself as our national newspaper. The Golden Mail had an editorial last week criticizing the Russian courts for giving these singers, they're punk rock singers from a group called.
Isn't it a Pussy Galore or something like that? I don't know. Wasn't Pussy Galore a name in one of the Bond movies or something?
Yeah, well, it's not Pussy Galore.
Yeah,
it's Pussy.
I don't know. I can't remember it either. Well,
and some of these girls broke into a service at one of the Orthodox cathedrals in downtown Moscow, and they put on a fairly obscene performance. I think one of them was flashing her what's underneath her skirt, and they were chanting, they were praying that the church would not support President Putin. Well, they were tried and convicted of what the Soviets call hooliganism, and sentenced to 2 years in jail. They could have gotten 7. Our Global Mail thought that penalty was excessive and that was bad. Well, my position would have been that really wasn't free speech to disrupt a church service. Now, if they want to stand outside the church and sing their song or do whatever they want to do, that's free speech and they shouldn't be punished. Whether 2 years was excessive, I don't know, maybe it was. But what really annoyed me is, that there's a country that's not very much of a friend of freedom of speech, but we've got a problem right here in Canada. 2 years in prison. A friend of mine, Brad Love, was sentenced to 18 months in prison for writing letters to politicians. And this was back in 2003. And he was charged under our hate law. Now, the Golden Mail fussed and said, well, hooliganism is a very vague law. Well, so is our hate law.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, what exactly is hate? Anyway, Mr. Love was sent to prison for 18 months for sending letters to politicians, 20 of them. He's very critical about third world immigration, and he's no great friend of Israel, and so on. Well, those are his views. Now, some people, when I tell Americans this, they said, yeah, well, that's not the whole story, though, right? I mean, these letters were threatening. No, they weren't. He's just expressing an opinion. He wasn't threatening the politicians' lives, but that would be another thing altogether. So Brad served his 18 months, and then he was under probation conditions. Now, initially, it's a long story, so I'll skip over. Every time he apparently violated the conditions, they increased the conditions. Now, until very recently, he never actually went to court. He'd be thrown in jail, and after they broke his spirit, after he'd been in for 20, in one case he was in for 6 months, he would plead guilty, and then they'd let him out. That's legally, that's a very bad thing to do. But anyway, that's what he did. Finally, he was under the parole conditions that he was not allowed to write to anybody without their permission. Now, that's anybody. Not allowed to write to anybody. Now, that should have been front page in the Globe and Mail, that some whack job of a judge would impose a condition like that in a supposedly free country. Not allowed to write to anybody without their permission. In other words, if his visa bill was wrong, and he decided to sit down and write a letter and say, you know, I never charged $150 at the Holiday Inn in Niagara Falls, New York. Technically, that's a violation. I mean, unless he had phoned up to Visa and said, Visa, would you give me permission to write your letter? Or supposing he wrote to his local counselor or alderman and said, there's a big pothole in front of my driveway. It practically swallows up my car. Technically, he's broken the law. This is a police state sort of thing. Now, I have done everything. The Canadian Association for Free Expression has done everything, but stand on its head and spit wooden nickels to try to get the press attention about this. Well, anyway, time went on, and he wrote some letters after phoning these groups to say, listen, I've got some opinions about stuff that you've been quoted about in the paper. May I send you a package of my material? They said yes. He wrote to four different Jewish groups, send them packages of material. He's very critical of Israel and so on. I would have said he's probably, you know, it's silly to waste your time in the postage to write to groups that, you know, are not obviously not going to agree with what you're sending them. But you know, that's what freedom of speech is about. Anyway, he on July 13th, he was given 18 more months in prison. Now, I think the Russian band's name was Pussy Power, but anyway, that is far worse than what happened to those girls. And all Brad ever did was write letters. He didn't disrupt somebody's religious service to get his point of view across. And we cannot get the attention of the national media for this fellow for love or money. You know, maybe he ought to go over to Russia and get himself tossed in jail, and then maybe our press will pay attention.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, go ahead, Paul. I didn't want to interrupt your thought.
And, you know, they're Chinese dissidents. There's one fellow named Wei Wei. He's quite a famous architect and artist, and he's quite the dissident over in China. So they put him in jail, I believe, for about 6 months several years ago, and then they let him out. And he was under 1 year's, he was stripped of his political rights, which as far as I could tell, man, he was virtually under house arrest. And he was not allowed to give any interviews to the media. So, you know, he's denied his, you know, a fair deal of rights. Well, you know, a lot of our papers, including the Globe and Mail, had fierce editorials about this, that, you know, that China's really backward. If it really wants to join the community of nations, it's got to pay more attention to human rights. I totally agree with them. And, point well taken. I couldn't say it better myself. Except that, well, Canada's abusing poor guys like Brad Love, and there's some others. You know, I mean, imagine. So he writes controversial letters to politicians or political groups, or you know, and he gets put in jail for that.
Well, you know, I hear the cue music again, Paul, but they're not interested in the free speech rights or the rights of the people who are already there in Canada. They're more concerned with the other people coming in, that somehow they have more rights and their rights trump your rights. And it's just, it's upside down. Everything is backwards, but we're going to hit a break. 3 minutes, we'll be back. This is The Unsolicited Opinion. My name is Maggie Rodden. Paul Fromm is my guest today. Canadian Association for Free Expression will be back. You're listening to Orion Talk Radio
Network. In 2010, millions of people were awakened to the question of what. Now the next question that remains to be answered is, Why in the world are they spraying? An investigative look into one of the many agendas associated with chemtrail geoengineering programs, weather control. Why in the world are they spraying? Premiering and streaming live August 18th at the three-day event, Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails Conference and Fundraiser in Los Angeles. For more info, go to www.cbclive2012.com. Why in the world are they spraying? Order your copy today at www.whyintheworldarethespraying.com. Watch the premiere live August 18th at the three-day event, Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails Conference and Fundraiser in Los Angeles. For more info, go to www.cbclive2012.com. Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
Flawless Science believes you deserve the right to have a long and healthy life. You deserve to have toxin-free air and water and foods rich in minerals and nutrients. Factory farming, genetically modified foods, and thousands of environmental contaminants are polluting our world and stripping your right to healthy life away from you. FlawlessScience.com helps you regain these rights. FlawlessScience.com makes natural products and provides the best nutraceutical products to enhance your quality of life, your state of health, and well-being. So whether you're struggling with obesity, diabetes, hypertension, memory loss, allergies, high cholesterol, neuropathy, or to spice things up in the bedroom, FlawlessScience.com is here to help you. FlawlessScience.com ships quickly worldwide in discreet packaging and will never sell your information to anyone for any reason. For all your wellness, weight control, extreme muscle building, and nutraceutical needs, visit FlawlessScience.com today.
Did you know that the water you're drinking may contain over 2,000 different contaminants? From hormone-disrupting and mind-altering chemicals like fluoride in pharmaceuticals to newly emerging contaminants like radiation and other hybrid chemicals that water treatment plants don't screen out of our drinking water. PureEffectFilters.com has a breakthrough filter solution to effectively reduce the widest range of such contaminants, including the radiation coming from the Fukushima disaster. In addition, the filters will also revitalize your water by releasing natural minerals and electrolytes while increasing pH and antioxidant levels. Safeguard and revitalize your drinking water today with a breakthrough PureEffect water filter system. Visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more or contact us today at 1-888-891-4821. That's 1-888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more.
Hey everybody, this is Maggie Rod, and you're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. My website is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com, theunsolicitedopinion.com. I will link to my guest websites, Paul Fromm. I will put his websites up on mine under the tab entitled Podcast, where I will put the podcast for this show as well later tonight. I'll get it up there. I'm just not... didn't put yesterday's up either. I'm just negligent. What can I say? I'm just one of those negligent Americans, Paul. But it is what it is. Listen, my guest, Paul Fromm, Canadian Association for Free Expression, and paulfromm.com is another website to find him. So, Paul, we're talking about free speech, the lack thereof, the rights of people coming in. They seem to have more rights than the people who have been living in Canada for a long time. And the goal to silence people and not allow them to express themselves, of course, plays right into the hands of the cultural Marxists. It's their agenda that's being advanced, and it's just about controlling people, controlling individuals, control their thoughts, control their ability to express their thoughts, place them in a state of constant fear. You're always looking over your shoulder, wondering, you know, when are they going to come and get me, take me away for the least little infraction. That's absolutely what they want. I mean, their goal is to eliminate free speech here in this nation as well. We've got a little bit of a different, constitution here, but they're certainly on the march. The commies are on the march to deny us the right to say what we want to think, or say what we think, whether or not someone else else believes what we say or agrees with what we say or even feigns offense to what we say is irrelevant. But they're on the march against that. And I'll tell you, perhaps you know Reverend Ted Pike, but he was very vocal in trying to fight against the hate crime law that exists in this nation that elevates certain groups. Well, it elevates every group above a white Christian is really what it boils down to. He was very instrumental in trying to fight against that. But he, you know what? One of the interesting things, Paul, is that he couldn't get any of the evangelical churches, any of the churches, to stand up and speak out against this legislation because it'll eventually come full circle to them, because if they're going to stand in the pulpit and they're going to preach what it says in the Bible, of course, it doesn't. The Bible doesn't advocate homosexuality, and therefore, eventually it's going to come home to roost. The chickens always come home to roost sooner or later, one way or another, but unfortunately, Reverend Ted Pike was like a lone voice crying in the wilderness, and nobody would do anything until like a minute before midnight, when it was too late to get the word out to their 80 million or so followers to have them actually try to stop that. But it's the same handful of people who push that legislation, and of course they'll push hate speech a law in this nation as well. It's just a matter of time. It's not if, it's when. I mean, it's on the plate. It's on the agenda. It's all on the agenda, Paul.
No, you're absolutely right, Maggie. And, you know, I think Americans are very naive to think that free speech is safe in the United States. The First Amendment, I believe, really only protects you from government restrictions on speech. Well, there's more than one way to skin a cat, and meetings that are being denounced as, you know, white supremacist or any of those good terms that you used to introduce us both at the beginning of the show have been canceled in many parts of the United States because of pressure.
Sure.
Jared Taylor, and I know you had Jared on your other show a couple of times. Jared said American Renaissance had five conference venues canceled over a two-year period. These were rock solid legal contracts, and these venues broke them even though they had to pay a penalty. They came under pressure from cyber terrorists who made threats. They came under pressure from some minority groups that said the American Renaissance were white supremacists in pinstripe suits and so on. And David Duke, this is a conference I was involved in back in 2008. He had a Euro conference in just outside of Memphis, Tennessee, actually in the northern part of Mississippi. And threats were made against the hotel manager. They too canceled. He had to scramble to find another venue. I don't think Americans should be too smug about free speech. Yes, the government may not be able to directly pass a law preventing free speech, but your right to speak it can be severely limited. Another thing is you can be fired, and I know a number of people who've lost their jobs in the United States for even in some cases for just attending a meeting. There was a assistant district attorney just west of Buffalo, New York, who attended an American Renaissance conference, I think about 5-6 years ago. His name got in the paper, and he came back on the Monday and found he didn't have a job anymore.
Yeah, please.
So, you know, the enemies of free speech are active right around the world. America may be better off than places like Europe and better off than Canada, and Canada, we're better off than Europe, but nonetheless, the same evil, one world government forces are active, and they have a great way of trying to get around the First Amendment. They're always looking for a way. One way is they haven't succeeded on this, or I should say they've had indifferent success, is that certain expressions are not free speech. They're a form of assault. Now, that to me is really kicks the door open.
So if you express a hateful opinion, whatever hateful is, I mean, then the argument goes, that's not free speech, that's a form of assault. So, there are a variety of ways to try to take away your freedom of speech, and those who are eager to do it are pretty good at it.
Oh, yeah, well, they've had a lot of practice, haven't they? And they've got hundreds of millions, billions of dollars, and a lot of people that get paid to do nothing but be little speech Nazis wandering around, or speech commies or speech Bolsheviks or whatever the hell you want to call them, wandering around trying to deny people the right to their free expression and the right to their thoughts, whether they agree with them or they don't. It's a rather fascinating phenomenon to watch, really, Paul, in a sense. It's too bad we have to be involved in it. But it's really rather interesting to watch how this plays out, the dynamics of it, the machinations, how people operate, the chess moves that they make. And it is, you are absolutely correct. The American people are very naive, Paul. Their ignorance is astounding. And their naivete about what's really happening in the world, they have this false sense of, well, we're Americans, it'll never happen here, and you know that's somewhere else, not here. And I'm telling you, the locomotive is barreling down the tracks, and they ain't seen nothing yet, because they are going to be an ink spot by the time this is all done. The American people have no clue what's roaring their way.
No, you're absolutely right about that. The for instance, one way that freedom of speech is throttled are campus speech codes. Students have been expelled for expressing the wrong, politically wrong opinions on campus. And the universities say, well, we're sort of private institutions, so that the Constitution doesn't fully apply here, blah, blah, blah. What I've got to say right now is in Canada, but there are many universities in Canada that will not permit a right to life group to exist. They say that if you're opposed to abortion, you're anti-woman, and therefore you have no right to speak on campus. Your very presence is is an affront. Now, this is ironic on so many different levels, but primarily because universities are supposed to be a battlegrounds of ideas. They're supposed to be marketplaces of ideas where ideas are discussed and developed and debated and promoted or proved wrong or whatever. And yet there's a rigid ideology in place in many universities across North America where opinions even 10 years ago would have been.
Free speech guaranteed. You're listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network.
At OrionTalkRadio.com, you could say that we're all talk.
See, the people of Japan are protesting by the million. They don't want these reactors restarted. They see what it's done. There's no safety in these things. There's only death in these things. And by the millions. You know what the government and TEPCO's telling them to do? F off. You guys are noisy. That's fine. Go ahead and assemble. Go ahead and protest. We're the criminal organization that runs this country. We're not going to listen to you. And they're not. Even though 90% of people don't want these things restarted. The banks do, though. You see, TEPCO can't make the payments to the bondholders, to the banksters. That's the worst crime in the world you can do. Don't pay the banksters. Look at Europe. They'll burn the place down to make these people pay back banksters that have imaginary fiat currency.
Orion News Talk. News and views beyond the mainstream media.
IRN USA Radio News, I'm Hope Duggar. A prominent Republican who's considered a possible future presidential candidate is having to bow out of his speaking slot at the party's convention, which has gotten underway in Tampa, Florida. Bobby Jindal, the governor of Louisiana, says he won't be attending the convention because of the tropical storm that's bearing down on the Gulf Coast. It could threaten New Orleans, which was devastated by Hurricane Katrina 7 years ago this Wednesday. Other Republican officials from Louisiana and Mississippi have scrapped or delayed plans to go to Tampa. New York City Police Commissioner Raymond Kelly is defending the decision of two officers to kill an armed gunman outside the Empire State Building, which led to 9 bystanders being wounded. Kelly today called the shooting appropriate since the officers had just been told Jeffrey Johnson had killed a former coworker around the corner and Johnson was pointing his weapon at them. 9 civilians suffered non-life-threatening injuries caused by police bullets. The patrolmen were placed on desk duty while prosecutors reviewed their response. This is IRN, USA Radio News.
More hair naturally? That's what you really want. No drugs or plugs, just a full, healthy head of hair. Our new scientific breakthrough handles the multiple causes of thinning hair for both men and women with an intensive 4-tier attack. Our exclusive patented program breaks down DHT, the medically recognized cause of hair loss, plus increases scalp circulation, nutrition, and removes environmental chemical buildup. Now your hair can grow naturally, thicker, and fuller. Easy to use, just a few minutes every other day. If your hair loss is within the last 15 years, call now for a free, no-obligation consultation. Call right now. We'll double your order for free up to 1 year. Call 800-245-HAIR. A thicker, fuller, more luscious head of hair again. Call 800-245-HAIR. That's 800-245-HAIR. Or go to IWantMyHair.com.
This is Ken, host of the Information Nation. Join me every Sunday evening, 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central, right here on the Orion Talk Radio Network.
Hey everybody, it's Maggie Rodden. We're back. My guest today is Paul Fromm, Canadian Association for Free Expression, paulfromm.com. He also has a radio show that he does right now on Reason Radio Network. Paul, have you been, what do you want on that? I'm not sure. Is it Monday nights? Tuesday nights?
So I'm on every Tuesday night at 10 o'clock Eastern Time. A lot of the back shows are archived there. If you'd like to go, it's a reasonradio.com, http://www.reasonradio.com, and you can, there are a lot of broadcasters besides myself. Jamie Kelso is on, Dr. Tom Sunich is on, Stan Hess. So there's quite a good variety of people, and you might want to check that out.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of really interesting voices, a lot of interesting commentary up on there. So, yeah, I'll put a link to that up on my website as well for people listening if they want to tune in and listen to some of the shows or the podcasts. You know, you can't have enough information, Paul. Honestly, you can't. We are in a battle, and I always say to people, you're never going to be stronger than you are right now today. You're not going to have more money in your pocket because each day, if this steamroller continues down the road, we are going to have less money. It'll be eaten up via inflation. We're going to have less opportunity to fight back. The bricks that they are putting in the wall, they are continuing to erect this wall, this prison wall that we will reside on the inside of.
Yes.
It continues to be built day after day after day. So our voices will never be stronger than they are now, Paul, because we have the most ammunition, if you will, right now. If you still have a shot to get on the internet, have a conversation like you and I are doing, write an email, write a letter, stand on a street corner with a bullhorn or a sign, you're never going to be stronger than you are now, because as the days go on, they are going to continue to erect this police state, and they will do things like, I'm sure you probably heard that young kid who wrote some stuff on his Facebook page against, I don't know what he read, wrote, I didn't read it, but I'm sure he wrote commentary similar to what a lot of people talk about. You know, they want small government, limited government, and free speech, and the Second Amendment, and that. He was an ex-Marine, and they hauled him off to a mental hospital last week, Paul, down here in the States. I'm not sure if you heard that or not, but...
I saw some stuff on the internet about that. It's just mind-blowing.
Absolutely. And so you're very right when you say the Americans are naive. They have this false idea. I remember I was at a picnic, a family picnic, a few years ago, talking to my nephew. Everybody's a hunter in my family. And, they'll never take our guns. I said, you watch. You watch how they come at it. Because what they will do is they will use labels that they'll place on people falsely that, oh, well, you're a threat to society. Well, you're an extremist. You're a right-wing extremist. Or you're, you know, they put everybody on a list now. I mean, our government has come up with these lists that everybody and their brother falls into some category or another that they've created out of thin air. So, you know, if you believe in free speech, you're a returning vet from Iraq or Afghanistan. If you like the First Amendment, if you like the Second Amendment, if you think the Fifth is a good idea, well, hello. You could be a potential domestic terrorist. They've put you on a list. They've labeled you far beyond just the racist, hater, anti-Semite, homophobe, bigot, xenophobe, anti-Semite, white supremacist Nazi wants to kill 6 million Jews. Now everybody's on some category. You know what I'm saying? And they will use that as a way to deny you the right to purchase a weapon to defend yourself. I guarantee you. Coming.
You know, Maggie, constitutions and bills of rights are important, of course. But the best guard we have of our rights is an interested and active citizenry. If people don't care enough about these rights to protest, to say you're violating my rights, if society doesn't, or if enough people in society don't. Get angry about these things. It doesn't matter what the Constitution or a Bill of Rights says. This is the thing that was so disappointing me about the meetings canceled for Representative Dr. David Duke and for Jared Taylor's American Renaissance, that the businesses, they're Americans too. Why didn't they say, this is wrong, we believe in freedom of speech, you go to hell if you want to cancel this meeting. I had an interesting situation in just outside of Edmonton, Alberta, some years ago. The local anti, or actually he wasn't local, but there was an anti-racist professor. Actually, he was a member of the Communist Party, and he was on a tear against groups like ours holding meetings. And
he got
out of the hotel.
He was against white people because you guys aren't racist. Right. So he really wasn't anti-racist. He was anti-white. The one who's a racist is him because he's against you, right?
Yeah. Well, the big issue was the issue being discussed was the Canadian Constitution. Now, you couldn't imagine, frankly, you would think a more innocuous topic. Anyway, this professor put out the word that these were neo-Nazis and anti-Semites meeting, and that there was likely to be violence. Well,
you mean they were anti-Semites there, Paul?
That's what he said.
Oh, baby.
So there was a hotel, and the hotel canceled the meeting. So the meeting was moved to another hotel. Well, he tried the same thing there. He called the hotel and he said there was white supremacists. He said it was racists and anti-Semites and there might be trouble. They attracted trouble and they attracted violence. So the hotel owner said, "Well, we have a contract with these people. They have the right to free speech." So that he called the police. That is the professor. He used to protest outside meetings. He took down his pants. We used to call him Professor Bearbum. So Professor Bearbum called the police. The local police then went on. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police went around to the hotel owner and said, maybe it'd be a good idea if you cancel that meeting. He said, there could be problems. And the hotel owner said, well, if there are problems, I expect you are going to take care of them, right? Because you're the police. Although they were quite taken back by this. Well, wouldn't it be better to cancel the meeting? He said, what do you mean cancel their meeting? He said, they have the same right to have a meeting and exercise their freedom of speech as anybody else. I don't think that's right. Well, the policeman said that there could be trouble. He said, so the hotel owner said, well, listen, I've got a baseball bat. If anybody trespasses on my hotel, if you're not going to take care of things, I'll go in the parking lot with my baseball bat, and I'll take care of it. Well, you can't do that, the police said. Well, anyway, the meeting went ahead. And the first night, about Professor Barabom was able to get about five derelict old hippies to protest with their signs. The hotel owner went out and said, you've got a right to free speech, too. As long as you stay on the public sidewalk, you can wave your signs and do your thing. And they were out there for about half an hour. It was a cold November evening just outside of Edmonton. And if you know the climate there, it was pretty cold. They lasted half an hour, and we never saw them again. Here's the kicker. You know who that hotel owner was? He was an American-educated Iranian. That man knew more about free speech than a lot of Canadians, because we play a same scenario, and I've seen in my political lifetime dozens of meetings across Canada canceled only because somebody makes a call and says they're the Nazis or they're the racists or they're the Klan or the, you know, usually a complete lie, and cowardly hotel owners give in, and equally useless police, not always, but quite often, with their advice to the hotel owner is, cancel the meeting. There'll be no trouble then. Instead of saying, listen, our job is to keep law and order. If protesters show up, they can stay on one side of the street and do their thing as long as they're peaceful, and the people can have their meeting inside, and you know, both sides have their rights guaranteed. So it comes back to a thirst for freedom. You know, if we've got enough people saying, you're not going to take my rights away, we'll keep them. And if a lot of people just don't give a flying flip, it doesn't matter what the Constitution says, it just won't be enforced. And I was really deeply disappointed at the hotel owners that canceled. I think it was five of Jared Taylor's meetings. A few threats and they run away. And I thought, you know, you're a disgrace. You're a disgrace as a human being.
I agree. Hang on, Paul. We're going to hit another break. 3 minutes. We'll be back, everybody. Paul Fromm is my guest this morning. I'm telling you, I'm all discombobulated tonight. We'll be back in three. Don't change that dial.
Are you a frequent flyer business traveler? Are you tired of paying exorbitant ticket prices to fly business or first class? Well, now you don't have to. Visit flyfirstclass.com to find out how you can travel in style and comfort to hundreds of locations around the world while saving 40 to 70% on your airfare. FlyFirstClass.com has been serving corporate and leisure travelers the world over since 1998. They are a professional company, providing professionals with first-class service and total reliability. How about flying from Miami to Paris, round trip per person, business class from $3,300, or first class from $4,600? Or a flight from the 48 states, Canada, or Alaska to South America, business class starting at $3,300, or first class starting at $4,600. Make no mistake, these are flights on major commercial airlines. So before you book your next flight, log on to flyfirstclass.com and see how much money you can save. That website is flyfirstclass.com, flyfirstclass.com.
Flawless science believes you deserve the right to have a long and healthy life. You deserve to have toxin-free air and water and foods rich in minerals and nutrients. Factory farming, genetically modified foods, and thousands of environmental contaminants are polluting our world and stripping your right to healthy life away from you. FlawlessScience.com helps you regain these rights. FlawlessScience.com makes natural products and provides the best nutraceutical products to enhance your quality of life, your state of health, and well-being. So whether you're struggling with obesity, diabetes, hypertension, memory loss, allergies, high cholesterol, neuropathy, or to spice things up in the bedroom, FlawlessScience.com is here to help you. FlawlessScience.com ships quickly worldwide in discreet packaging and will never sell your information to anyone for any reason. For all your wellness, weight control, extreme muscle building, and nutraceutical needs, visit FlawlessScience.com today.
In 2010, millions of people were awakened to the question of what. Now the next question that remains to be answered is, Why in the world are they spraying? An investigative look into one of the many agendas associated with chemtrail geoengineering programs, weather control. Why in the world are they spraying? Premiering and streaming live August 18th at the three-day event, Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails Conference and Fundraiser in Los Angeles. For more info, go to www.cbclive2012.com. Why in the world are they spraying? Order your copy today at www.whyintheworldarethespraying.com. Watch the premiere live August 18th at the three-day event, Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails Conference and Fundraiser in Los Angeles. For more info, go to www.cbclive2012.com. Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
Hey everybody, we're back. This is Maggie Rodden. You're listening to Orion Talk Radio Network, my show, The Unsolicited Opinion, my website, three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com. My guest today is Paul Fromm, Canadian Association for Free Expression, paulfromm.com. I think you've got, don't you do something with White News Now too, Paul, whitenewsnow.com or...
Yes, I have a regular blog on whitenewsnow.com, and that's Paul Fromm's Cafe. Just look up my name, and I put up quite a regular series of commentaries on a wide variety of issues, not just freedom of speech.
Okay. Yeah, I know you're a very prolific writer. Paul, you and I have talked so many times, but I really am not sure what it will take, because the people think that they're immune to this. For some reason, they think it's just the other guy these things happen to. It's not going to happen to them. Well, I'm not, an ex-Marine, so, I don't post anything that I don't like the government on my Facebook page, so, they're not going to come for me. And it reminds me of that poem that's credited to that Pastor Niemöller, first they came for the commies or whatever, and I wasn't a communist. And I kind of like to change that to, first they came for the smokers, I wasn't a smoker, so I did nothing. Then they came for the fat people, I wasn't a fat person, so I did nothing, and on and on it goes, right, Paul? I mean, there is no stopping them. They'll outlaw everything. Well, they're outlawing living. They'll outlaw living eventually for only certain...
No, the people planners are insatiable. Yes. I think it's very, very short. Just from a selfish point of view, it's very short-sighted to say, oh, well, I'm not a smoker, or I'm not a fat person, or I'm not a gun owner, or I don't have any strong opinions about anything, so I'm okay. What you're really saying is that you're a foolishly selfish, pathetic excuse for a human being. And I mean, it's foolish because it isn't even smart. For your own long-range rights to, if you don't get involved. Some of the people on my side of the fence are always talking about, well, what we need is a really severe economic downturn, and that'll smarten people up.
No.
Well, I'm not so sure it will.
I agree, Paul.
A really severe economic downturn, so you've got 25% unemployment, and many people have exhausted their unemployment benefits, and now all they've got is welfare. Are those people going to suddenly find courage and say, darn it all, I've lost almost everything, my house is being repossessed, I'm living in my mother's basement, I lost my car, now I'm going to revolt? Frankly, I have a feeling the way this is how it will play out. The government would let it be known, listen, if we find you at any of these, whatever you want to call it, right wing, racialist, Tea Party, or whatever, rallies, if we see you in any way taking a stand, you're going to lose your welfare. You're going to get nothing. You're going to have nothing. Now, is that the guy suddenly going to find courage? Maybe the odd one will. But I have a feeling if you're an apathetic, conformist dweeb, a change of circumstances isn't going to change your character.
Well, you'll
be more than, you who are prepared to mouth politically correct slogans at work or at school or wherever you were, I don't think you're suddenly going to find your courage when economic circumstances change. I mean, I may be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But,
well, I
tend to agree with you. For a while, I thought that maybe when they get desperate enough, but you know what? I realize that's not the case. I was watching a story about a woman in Colombia. In Colombia, I don't know where she was, Bogota, I don't remember where. Anyway, was talking about her life. She and her husband, who was killed by paramilitary forces, they had 6 kids, so she moved from a rural area into the slums of the city she was residing in, and living in this slum, I mean, slum on the side of the hills. And she and her son were dragging a washing machine up the side of this hill into their slum shack that they lived in, because she was renting it for an hour or two. I think it was $3 it was costing her to rent it so she could wash some clothes. And she was talking about the sewing that she does, and her oldest son, who's like 16, has been working 6 days a week to try to help out and support the younger kids so they could go to school. And I thought to myself and they were talking about the disparity between the very wealthy, of course, who keep the others oppressed. And believe me, you know where I'm going with this. I'm not advocating, the whole rich-poor thing. But the reality is, Paul, is there's a handful of people who have controlled the economies of the world for a very long time. And the economies rise or fall based upon whatever whim decision they want to make for that day. And these people revolting, how could this woman, dragging a washing machine up the side of a hill to take it into the shack she lives in, how are they going to revolt, Paul? With what? Yeah. You need money to buy arms. Somebody's got to fund that, right? These rebels, they're getting their arms from somewhere. Who's funding that side of the battle? Because they don't just come out of thin air, and this poor woman with 6 kids and not a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of. There's little she can do, and there's nothing her children can do.
Well, comes back to, I think, a sense of pride in yourself. And we've got to reach out and form communities. I mean, some people are lucky enough to live in areas where they really have a community, many people live side by side with other people and don't even know who they are. There is no sense of community. That's another problem with diversity. You have very little in common with most of your neighbors. But, I think we have to encourage more people to become better people. Consider, it's not just every man for himself. We should be working for our communities. I think people become braver if they feel they're not alone.
Absolutely.
It's very difficult to be, to stick to principles if everybody denounces you or treats you like a leper or something like that.
Sure it is. It's very tough to withstand the slings and arrows that the stuff that's thrown at you. It really is very tough. But if one person does it, and then another one stands by them, and then a third joins them, and eventually, if we could only get through to people, Paul, what freedom means, if we could only convince them of its merits and to understand what life will be like without it. I don't think enough people really truly understand what freedom really entails.
Now, one of the things I've seen is that my mission is to try to turn people on to freedom. Freedom is a really precious thing. And, life isn't too much fun if you're not free.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't.
I'd like to mention to your listeners, if you're a Canadian or even if you're not a Canadian, if you're concerned about the free speech battles in Canada, particularly the fellow I just talked about, Brad Loveview, got tossed back in jail for another 18 months for writing nonviolent letters, email me, and I'll tell you more, and you may want to make a contribution, but my email is very simple. It's paul@paulfromm.com. It's P-A-U-L. paulfromm.com. I'd be glad to send you some emails and tell you a little bit more about this. But I see a really important challenge, and that is for us people to speak up when people's freedoms or free speech is taken away. It's easy to say, oh, well, I'm not that Marine. What's it to me? I don't even know what he was talking about. Or I'm not Brad Love. So what? So he wrote some letters. Well, I don't write letters. I probably can write letters.
Yeah, right. Well, they're not teaching.
and that's really powerful. Believe me, the
powers of censorship notice. You know, and that's why, and I've had over 25 years experience of this, I've noticed that they pick on the people they think have no support.
Sure. They pick on that. Listen, it's a low-hanging fruit. It's easy to go after them because they put up the least resistance because they have the least resources to be able to resist with. So, I mean, that's the common tactic. Their tactics, they repeat their tactics over and over again, Paul, because they work. So why change their game plan when it's worked so superbly all these decades?
And you know they love to they're like jackals. They like to pick on the weak.
Yep.
And that's why our counter strategy, and it doesn't take much, is to stand with those people who are attacked. And you know, I'm not asking anybody to give up their job or anything, but anybody can make a contribution.
Absolutely.
Stand you can write a letter.
Absolutely. Do something. Don't just let them do what they're doing and not stand up and fight back. I know we're running out of time here, Paul. I want to thank you for joining me again. I truly appreciate it, as I always do. Reason Radio Network, paulfromm.com, Canadian Association for Free Expression, all of his websites, his email will be up on mine under the tab entitled Podcast. Thanks for joining me, Paul. It's a pleasure always.
Okay, thanks, Peggy, and hope to be with you again.
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Take care.
Thanks.
Hey, you're welcome. Hey, listen, everybody. Now, another great show is going to follow mine here on Orion Talk Radio Network. We're cooking with gas, right? For as long as we have it, anyway. You know, they'll be taking that crap away, too. But anyway, listen, good things are happening here on Orion, so stay tuned. We're on the way up. I can feel it. I'm telling you, we got jet engines roaring. So we're going to be blasting off to the number one spot. It's just a matter of time. Listen, I have to go to Oz. Somewhere over the rainbow truly is a wonderful place to be. Chin up, everybody, because we've got people like Paul Fromm in the world fighting for you and I, so don't lose heart. Better days are coming, and the sun is going to come up tomorrow. And I'll be back. Stay tuned. Great show follows mine. Take care, everybody.